This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
This morning, we continue our sermon series, Come and See, exploring what it means to follow Jesus and witness his transformative work in the world. Today's gospel takes us to the synagogue in Nazareth, where Jesus begins his public ministry with a bold and unexpected declaration, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then with all those eyes fixed upon him, many people he grew up with and knew, he declares, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the moment, at least according to Luke's gospel, when Jesus steps fully into his public ministry, announcing that the promises of Isaiah were not just distant hopes being fulfilled, but they are now being fulfilled in him. This moment's an invitation to you and to me, my beloved, a call to come and see what God is doing through Jesus Christ. But to truly understand this invitation, we need to look closely at what Jesus said and what he chose not to say. So let's go back a little bit in Luke's gospel. Before he's there in the synagogue declaring his mission, two significant events have occurred in Jesus' life. The first was Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River. Luke tells us that he prayed after his baptism. The heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And a voice from heaven declared, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I'm well pleased." This moment affirmed Jesus' identity and mission, making him God's chosen one. Next in Luke's gospel, Jesus was led into the wilderness, where he fasted for 40 days and was tempted by the devil. In the wilderness, Jesus faced a choice. Would he use his power for his own gain, or would he trust in the Lord's will? By resisting temptation, Jesus demonstrated his complete reliance on God and his unwavering commitment to the mission he was called to fulfill. So now you see, in our reading today, filled with the power of the Spirit, Jesus returns to Galilee, and his teaching has begun to spread throughout the country. And here he is in his hometown on the Sabbath, ready to announce the purpose of his ministry. The passage Jesus reads from Isaiah is a vision of hope, good news for the poor, freedom for the oppressed, healing for the broken. But the original text doesn't end there. Here's how it reads. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God." It appears Jesus deliberately omitted this phrase, "the day of vengeance of our God." Why? I think it's because his mission is not about vengeance. It's about mercy. Jesus doesn't come to punish, he comes to heal. He doesn't come to condemn, he comes to restore. Now, for him to omit this passage would have been very startling to his audience. Many of them expected a Messiah who would bring vengeance on their enemies, someone who would overthrow their oppressors and restore Israel to power. But Jesus announces a different kind of kingdom, a kingdom built not on retribution, but on grace. His invitation to come and see is an invitation to witness this radical, transformative love in action. By leaving out the language of vengeance, Jesus redefines what it means to be the Messiah. His mission is not about division, but about reconciliation. He proclaims good news that is for everyone, the poor, the captive, the blind, the oppressed. couldn't have a sermon, of course, without a Dallas Willard quote. Jesus' ministry reveals, says Dallas, the great and loving heart of God who accepts all people without qualification, just as they are. This was and still is a shocking message. Grace is always surprising because it asks us to let go of our desire for vengeance and embrace the mercy of God. When Jesus invites us to come and see, he's inviting us to witness a kingdom that turns the world's values upside down. In his kingdom, the poor are blessed, the captives are free, the blind receive sight, the oppressed are lifted up. This is the kingdom we are called to embody. But living as citizens of this kingdom is not easy. It requires us to let go of our pride, our grudges, our desire for control. It challenges us to extend the same mercy and grace we have received to others, and even when it's difficult. So what does it mean when Jesus says this is the, or Isaiah says this is the year of the Lord's favor? Today's gospel invites us to come and see the extraordinary fulfillment of God's promise in Jesus Christ. It's an invitation to experience the profound reality of the Jubilee, a time of restoration, liberation, and grace. I invite you to go back and read in Leviticus exactly how the Jews celebrated Jubilee. This reference to the year of the Lord's favor is widely understood as a Jubilee proclamation. But again, Jesus does something extraordinary. He doesn't stop at announcing the Jubilee. He declares it's happening now in him. Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing, Jesus said. Jesus is not just proclaiming the Jubilee, he is the Jubilee. In him, the promises of release, restoration, and renewal are realized. When Jesus proclaims the Jubilee, he expands its scope. It's no longer limited to a specific year or a particular people. In Christ, the Jubilee is open to everyone, everywhere, all the time. Some of you may know that I'm involved in a healing ministry, the Order of St. Luke the Physician, and you'll hear more about that order as 2025 unfolds. But I was on a call this week with Father Anders Litzel, who was an Anglican priest in South Africa. He made a provocative comment on our call. He said, "Maybe God has given us each other so that we learn how to relate to each other. And when we do that, we'll learn how to relate to God." So as you know, you'll have homework. On your way out today, you'll have a sheet with your homework on it. I want to talk about application and then the specifics of what I'm asking you to do this week. So how do we live into this invitation to come and see, to relate to one another, and to relate to God? First, come and see the grace of God. Spend time this week reflecting on the grace you've received. Where have you seen God's mercy at work in your life? Reflect on your baptismal identity. Our baptismal covenant says which we say at every baptism, says that we'll seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourselves. We are called to be agents of God's mercy in this world. Reflect this week on what it means to live as a beloved child of God, filled with the Spirit. Resist temptation. Jesus' time in the wilderness reminds us that following God often means saying no to self-serving options and saying yes to God's purposes. Where in your life are you being called to trust God more deeply? Share the invitation. Jesus' message is for everyone. Who in your life needs to hear the good news? Extend an invitation to church, to a conversation about faith, or simply to share a moment of kindness. Embody the kingdom by looking for ways to bring good news to the poor, to advocate for the oppressed, and to offer healing to the brokenhearted. This might mean volunteering or donating or simply being present for someone who's struggling. So this week I challenge you to do one thing. Take a step toward embodying the mercy of God. Is there someone in your life who's struggling? How can you offer them support or encouragement? Who in your life needs forgiveness? Is there someone you have held captive in your heart through anger or resentment? The Jubilee calls us to release those debts and let go of grudges. Think of a situation where you've been holding on to resentment or frustration. How might you let go of that and extend forgiveness or understanding? Share a word of hope with someone this week. Let them know that they're seen, loved, and valued by God. Jesus' proclamation in Nazareth is not just a historical moment. It's a living, ongoing call to action. He invites us to come and see the Spirit at work in the world and to join in the mission of bringing the good news to the poor, freedom to the oppressed, and hope to the brokenhearted. So come and see, my beloved. Be mindful of what God is doing in your life and in the world. Come and see the kingdom of mercy, the kingdom of grace, the kingdom of hope. And as you do, let the light of Christ shine through you, bringing good news to the poor, freedom to the oppressed, and healing to the brokenhearted. This is our calling. This is our mission. This is the kingdom of God. This is the year of the Lord's favor. Let us live it boldly, joyfully, and compassionately. Amen.